Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thank you for being here with us on this Wednesday morning. The Aldi grocery store chain is upending the supermarket industry. How is the company doing it? Why are shoppers coming back for more? Joining us this morning, Katrine Helens, who is an associate marketing professor at the business school at the University of North Carolina, to chat a little bit more about this. Katrine, good morning. Welcome to the Opening Bell.
Good morning. How are you?
So what's happening here? I mean, we have seen some industry data that would suggest that Aldi is the third most popular grocery store chain in the United States. I think a few years ago, nobody would have ever predicted that.
Well, yes. What surprises people even more is that when they learn that Aldi has been present in the U.S. market since 76. So what you have is that they've been sort of like somewhat taking the sort of like easy expansion road, gradually, expanding. But what you have is that more and more people starting to sort of buy into the concept that really sort of like doesn't offer you too much choice. But whatever you can find there is really good quality, and prices are just infinitely lower than what you can find anywhere else. So the moment you actually sort of buy into the idea that, hey, I don't need a lot of choice, I don't need a brand name per se, but as long as it's good and it really comes at a really good price, then once people learn that and they sort of like feel, hey, you know what, this really is doing a good job, they start to think like, hey, why have I been paying for so much for so long? And you know what, then they really sort of like start to completely switch their attitudes. And the moment that happens, well, as a conventional supermarket or a conventional grocer, then you actually are facing a very big problem.
Let's talk a little bit about Aldi. The company that owns Aldi is a German-based company, and it really is no frills. I mean, we describe it as no frills, but talk to us a little bit about some of the other, besides the brands, some of the things that they do to keep costs down.
So, yeah, so when you look at it, when you just look at their operating costs, they probably are, well, working at half of the operating costs that you will encounter even at some of the other low-cost players like Walmart. So what they're trying to do is they try to keep everything really sort of as minimal as possible. For instance, when you walk into a store, you will notice they're on a shelf, but that they really sort of have everything in cardboard boxes. And they do that deliberately because then you don't have to unpack, you don't have to shelf, and that saves you labor. And quite frankly, everything that you will encounter in that store is geared towards saving costs. So when you just think about it, an average Aldi store, you will have, you know, three, maximum five people working at the time, because everybody in that store has to perform multiple tasks. They have to actually sort of work at the register. If no one there, they have to go to the back room and help with unpacking. They have to sort of like do everything at that you can think of. Everything is measured as well. Every task has to be performed within a certain amount of minutes. So once again, it is so completely efficient that they can actually sort of like stripping out all the costs. The most famous example is, of course, you know, the cards. So you need a dime to sort of like get a card, and you actually sort of, if you want the dime back, you have to put the card back into place. Why is that? Just to, once again, simply to save people running around in a parking lot to collect those cards. So everything has been thought through. And then it's not just the labor, it's also the fact that they're working just with private labels. Private labels, once again, that allows them to work with, you know, a more efficient supply chain. Once again, no choice. Once again, means lower inventory, lower costs. And once again, if you start adding all these things up, your cost structure becomes substantially lower.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're too looking, first of all, I think the cart thing is really an interesting idea, because and people return the carts too to get their quarter back.
Yeah.
It's not like they leave them in the parking lot. So I think that's kind of a cool thing. But the prices, you talked about the prices earlier. I know, well, there was one story recently that compared a chicken, for instance. It was $4.29 a pound at Aldi compared to $4.99 at Whole Foods. I'm sorry, at Trader Joe's, and $6.99 at Whole Foods. So that's a huge, if you're cooking for a family, if you're shopping for a family, a couple of dollars at the high end to 70 cents on the low end, that's a big deal.
Yes, of course. And once, I think on average, the price gap will be somewhere between 40-50% for whatever product you're looking at. So when you think about that in dollar terms and for an entire basket of goods, it really starts to add up really quickly. So, it's not just for one particular product. It's really throughout the entire store. Well, obviously, you have to think about the fact that, well, when you go to one of these hard discount stores, as they call them, Aldi or Lidl, you will only find like 1,500 products in total. And you go to a supermarket, there's 50,000. So if you already start to think about that, sort of managing the cost for that, for those 1,500 SKUs, as they call them, or products, is also easier to a certain extent because you can do everything in a very lean way. You can actually pick those products that are really good, and also you can make sure that you can offer them at a much leaner price.
There's also a little bit of a marketing trick going on with packaging that I think is kind of cool. Like, for instance, you can buy all these Honey Nut Crispy Oats, and it kind of looks a lot like the box for the General Mills Honey Nut Cheerios. And that's really through the store. There are all kinds of products like that. That's kind of a tricky thing, but it works, doesn't it?
Yeah, so that's copycatting for you. So what is the idea here? Well, is that because if something looks like, because once again, most people don't know the brand name, so they have to sort of use some cues to derive quality at first sight, so to speak, before they try it. And if something looks alike, you may infer that, you know, hey, it will also do the same trick, it will actually offer you a similar type of quality. So that is the entire idea behind copycatting. And the funny thing is, it's especially effective when the real brand that you're mimicking is not available next to it, which is always the case in a store like Aldi, because they don't, most of the time, do not offer the real brand, so to speak. So that is a very, well, how shall I say that, a proven recipe.
Let's talk about the expansion. Aldi is sort of in a phase now where it wants to add new stores. You talked about how long Aldi has been in the United States, been around. They have been slow to grow, but now they're on track to add about 130 new stores this year alone. A lot of that's focused here in the Midwest. Talk a little bit about their growing plans.
So they, since 2017, have accelerated their expansion plans. And what everybody assumes is that obviously the arrival of Lidl on the American shores has something to do with that, because Lidl is their competitor number one worldwide, and especially in the domestic market, Germany. So with Lidl arriving in the U.S., they sort of started completely rethinking their expansion plan and thought like, hey, perhaps we just have to become somewhat more vocal about what we're doing and perhaps speed it up. It's not just the stores that they're going to expand. You also see that when you look at the entire, because they're remodeling stores, they're making sure they're freshening up everything. Once again, also making sure that they maintain their appeal, because now it's not just about building the business model in the minds of the American consumer. They also have to make sure that they actually gain the share, not little. So what you're seeing is that they're more and more preempting sites and locations, which of course is important in something as physical as a brick and mortar retailing. So they're really trying to buckle up and make sure that, hey, if you're there, that their closest competitors obviously cannot move in as easily as they might hope to.
Yeah, and the
so it's very much. Yeah,
good. No, I was just going to say that, and they're very, very serious about what they're doing too. I mentioned the data at the beginning. They're behind. They're pushing behind now Walmart and Kroger to number three.
Yeah,
and to show how serious they are, they opened a store in Bentonville, Arkansas, just about a mile from Walmart's corporate headquarters. So Walmart has to be a little concerned about this, or are they?
Yeah, well, obviously, I think not being concerned by the hard discounters is always a very big mistake. So probably one of the most recent cases where everything, an entire market was completely nearly destroyed by both Aldi and Lidl was actually the UK, where actually everybody was just, you know, almost sitting back and doing nothing, like the Tesco's of the world, big retailers. And who actually was sort of, well, thinking like, well, what are they going to do? They're sort of like just low prices, who cares? And obviously in 2015, 2016, they almost destroyed the entire UK market. So obviously everybody knows that in the industry. So the Walmarts of the world are very much aware of the potential effects of these retailers. So, it's not as if everybody's sitting back and trying to see, like, hey, let's just let them come. When you actually also, there is one interesting side element, though, is that to a certain extent, the Aldis and the Lidls also know that, hey, we only offer like 1,500 products. Probably there are more things than what we offer that you may need. So they still, you may still want to go to some other players. So they actually like to be close to some of the, what you would actually consider to be competitors, like Walmart, like Kroger. And by actually sort of getting near to them, you actually make the life of your consumers easier, because now you can say, hey, for a shopping trip, just come to us for all your basic needs. If there are any other things, well, hey, you know what? We're in the vicinity of the rest. We're not making your life easy. Just once again, come to us and hey, feel free to sort of get the other things at Walmart or Kroger. So to a certain extent, they even, obviously, they are competitors, but they may even become somewhat of a complement to other more traditional retailers.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And as I'm thinking here in my head about where the Aldis are near where I live, you're absolutely right. One is near the Albertsons or the Jewel Osco here, and another is near one of the Walmarts. So that's a very good point. Katrine, we appreciate you being with us this morning and sharing some of this information. Thank you.
Well, my pleasure.
Katrine Helens, who is an associate marketing professor at the business school at the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill.